This is Smith, coach of G2, and you're listening to The Centering.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 97 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, March 20th, 2018. The time, 6:13 p.m. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening's journey. My name is Tim. Hello. How are you? Alongside me, we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hi, Anuj. We missed you.
Hey, guys.
And Anuj is back. How was your trip?
Back, alive, ready to go. Feeling good after the trip. Trip was fantastic, man. Really, really enjoyed it.
Where all did you go?
Went to Paris to meet with Team Envious, see how they were doing. Headed out to Bruges, which is in Belgium. I think Scream lives around there, so he gave me a one-on-one over there. Perfect. And then from there, we went to Amsterdam, and it was fantastic. Freezing in Amsterdam, but very, very fun.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you back.
Glad to be back. Episode 97.
It is going to be quite possibly the best episode ever. We have a very special, everyone's favorite segment, Clutch or Kick, where we dive into some stories of the day and let you know if it's worth paying attention to. If they clutch or kick the round, get it? That's the reference. And we're going to start the show off by talking about Fortnite, because that game is blowing up. It's actually blown up now. I think we... can all say that it's at its
I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a popular game. So we're going to talk about Fortnite with an esports kind of twist to it and everything there. But real quick, let's pimp out the Soch. Join us in our Discord, which you can find on our website, tcr.gg. Of course, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, and you can get all the latest news. Like, for example, how we tweeted out that we were going to stream this episode on Twitch to get things ready for episode 100. And, well, spoiler alert, we're not on Twitch right now. So I underestimated technology. I just thought, hey, how, you know, just plug this in here, plug that in there. How difficult can it be, right? And then all of a sudden, audio will start playing and it will work. Apparently it's not that easy, or I'm just an idiot and I'm doing something wrong. That being said, if you know how to set up a stream, so it's working on OBS, I can record in Adobe Audition, and it's all going through a soundboard to my computer, hit me up on Twitter or in our Discord. Send me a message, because I guess I need backup. I'm going to work on it throughout the week, though. The stream and everything itself looks really nice. Anuj saw it, right? The stream itself looks good once it all finally
everything
works.
Looks ready to go. It's just
and really OBS and the Twitch side of it is working. It's getting the audio to record an audition at the same time. It's frustrating. I don't get it, but we'll work on that in the next coming weeks and everything, because I really want to do episode 100 live on Twitch for, like, you know, I don't know, so my mom can watch it, our one follower, maybe our two listeners can join us if they can find the time. It'll be cool.
I think you're underestimating that too, Tim.
All right. I don't know.
Maybe a little bit.
I think we hit double digits.
Okay, so we at least have 10 listeners. You're right. You're right. But let's get into some Fortnite talk. I know, Anuj, when we were trying to bounce ideas off of what to talk about today, you wanted to talk about Fortnite. You, being the biggest Fortnite fan of our group of friends... And yet,
which
you were
like
also the one who...
A 180.
You were, like, the last one to jump on board. So
I was.
What
I
changed?
Mean, so, what changed is I took the time to actually play the game, right? Like, I had given it a shot early on when it first came out. But when I say a shot, it was, like, an hour of playing. And at that point, PUBG was still the hot item, right? So, it was like, I'm going to go back over to PUBG. Then I came back and, you know, after they have, what, 20 plus million people playing at this point, I figured, well, let's give this another go, right? And I hopped on and I saw where, like, the addiction came from in the game. It's just, it's more fast paced. There's a little bit more to the game than PUBG, in my opinion. And watching kind of going back to the esports side of it, you know, there's just as much of a competitive aspect to this game as there is, you know, what is considered the up and coming game in PUBG from an esports side. I feel like there's more appeal because the fan base has already, I mean, the fan base is crazy. It's everywhere
free to,
now,
free
right?
Free to play doesn't help or doesn't hurt anything.
It doesn't. And also being on every being PS4, you have it now on mobile, Xbox, PC. They've really like taking over this kind of gaming era, you know, where it's a little slow. It feels a little slow to me at the moment. And they've like captured everyone's attention at this point.
I believe Brett is the only person that I know that has not played it yet. He is the last survivor.
I am the last survivor, and I know eventually that wall's going to fall, but I mean, it's just, blame it on PUBG, right? Like, I just, like, I'm so tired of the Battle Royale genre, just the amount of time it takes to loot and find action, and maybe Fortnite's different. It's not lack of just doing research, right? Like, I watch popular streamers play it.
I was about to ask,
it
so as like a
more
pure,
entertaining.
Yeah, I was going to say, because your opinion on it is really like the purest spectator opinion, right? So do you, when you watch it, compared to, say, watching someone play PUBG and looking at it from an esports perspective, do you see Fortnite being any more entertaining on a large scale?
I would say yes, because there's a higher skill gap. One, the aiming just takes a... Aiming is not like aiming in PUBG. I mean, PUBG is not perfect when it comes to aiming down sights, but you know about where your bullet's going to go, right? But with Fortnite, there's a little bit more of a skill gap, like Counter-Strike, where you have to know the sprays and all that stuff.
Because someone who hasn't played it, you think watching it, you're like, oh, you got to know the sprays. There are no sprays, though. That's one of my beefs, is like, with Fortnite, I'm not a huge fan of Battle Royale games. I play them all because we all play them, and it's like the one game that all of our group of friends have, right? So we play it together. And albeit I do enjoy Fortnite more than PUBG just because I feel like it's a little quicker, right? You can get in and out of a game a little faster. And you can be a little bit more aggressive just because you can start building right away, which I think is going to help it from an esports perspective, right? You're not having... like in PUBG, people will straight up get into the circle, sit in a building, and wait it out, right?
Right, okay.
I don't, and maybe Anuj can back me up here, I don't ever feel like that's the case in PUBG. Like, you never just sit and wait it out.
In Fortnite, you mean?
I'm sorry, in Fortnite.
Yeah, so...
So, if I... Just one other point to kind of continue on what I was saying. From an entertainment standpoint... Just so I can finish my thought there, and then we can move on to you, Anuj. I like the skill gap of the building. I mean, that's also another story that can be built, right? No pun intended. But I like that skill gap where you have to think on the fly, and there's just more like strategy involved, I feel. So, I mean, yeah, I think from a competitor, just from a viewership standpoint, Fortnite just will totally outshine PUBG. And you know,
yeah, so the skill gap in the game isn't the shooting at all. You know, like the aiming in that game, first shot accuracy is great. I think everything else feels a little random at times when you're using like an AR and stuff. But
it's a building game first, right?
The skill gap is building. So those who are good at building will generally succeed because you know how to stay alive better. You can position yourself better. You can get, advantage in terms of getting yourself built up higher than the other individual and you can do a lot with the building. So that's where the skill gap difference is. You watch a TSM Myth or Crafty or Ninja. These guys are incredible because they know how to be aggressive and yet keep themselves safe almost at all times, right? And so that's what makes the game so satisfying from a viewership perspective. The building is also easy to understand what's happening, right? There's not a lot of confusion. The action is a little bit more fast-paced than PUBG. The maps are... more condensed with higher traffic areas, so you kind of know where you're generally going to see action. So I think from a viewership perspective, it has more going than I never really believed PUBG would be an awesome esport game. And I mean, going back and even listen to, you know, some of our previous recordings on it, we've discussed it in length. I didn't really ever think PUBG would be great in terms of esports. I think Fortnite has a really good chance to go down that road.
So I've always, I just have a bitter taste in general with esports and the, like, the battle royale genre. I am a little curious, though, to see, like, with PUBG coming up, they're having that new map, right? Just an, in general, smaller map designed for faster games. I think directly try and compete with PUBG, right? They
or Fortnite.
See, or I'm, yeah, Fortnite. Man, I keep doing it. The to directly compete with Fortnite, PUBG is making like a smaller map for faster games and everything to go forward.
Yeah, I don't know. Making it like a little bit smaller. I saw the sizes on it, but yeah, that's, I would say that's the point, right? It's just to make it more similar to Fortnite's action.
Yeah, and I don't know necessarily if they need to be as a competitor, right? Like, I understand for player base, you're going to have people liking one or the other. But I also feel like the same people who like watching one probably enjoys just watching the others on a professional level, right? Like, I don't think there's anyone, well, I guess this is a bad example because I'm like this, but it's like if you love Dota, right, but you don't watch League of Legends, they're similar, so you would think they would attract the same people. I think I'm an outlier in that sense where I watch Dota and I don't like League of Legends, but...
I feel like it's the same people, you know, most, you know, for the most part, you know, the same people watching, but I like that they're competing against each other because it's keeping them both honest, right? Like with PUBG, they had, I mean, H1Z1 was so irrelevant that they weren't really competing with PUBG, but now PUBG has some competition where it's not a money grab anymore, guys. You know, you have to do things to fix your game, you know, smaller maps, great, you know, great innovation. Let's add this, maybe more excitement comes to your game, and it's just, I don't know. I like the competition.
They really are head-to-head competition right now. Whether the games whether you don't think they're that similar or not, that's fine. That can be up for debate. But in terms of competition, this is like do or die, you feel, because now you've seen them both release mobile versions just really a few days after one another.
Okay, so PUBG really did do a mobile version?
Yeah, yes. I have it on my phone. I played it
this thought
morning.
That was a joke. Yeah. Like, I legit saw Shroud tweet about it, and I thought it was a joke.
That's exactly what I saw. I saw that tweet, and I was like, what? There's a mobile version? So I went and downloaded it literally before I went to work this morning, hopped into a game, played one game of PUBG on there just to see what it was like. And I was pleasantly impressed. It runs better than their freaking PC version does, you know? Like, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It ran smooth. It's been out. These games are really difficult on mobile without Bluetooth controllers, right? Like, it's not really meant to be played on mobile, but they both put efforts into it because they know it's just a huge market that's up for grabs. And right now, I looked this up before the show just to see what it was around and to see concurrent player counts. Like, PUBG was dominating, right? Like, guys were breaking records. It was all over the place. Right now, Fortnite has 45 million players and over 3 million concurrent users, where PUBG now for the last like 30 days, it's averaging around 1.3, you know? And so there's that gap is starting to open up here. And I think they're just, PUBG made a ton of money and it did really well, regardless of what happens from here on out. They've done an amazing job, but now they're like fighting for true market share, even though the games are right, Tim, or not that similar, you know. It's just a constant.
No, that's why I said market share. I'm talking about like esports market share, though. Like, I really see, like, I don't see one hurting the other as far as maybe like a spectator's view.
Well,
that's where the competition comes into play. Like, maybe PUBG does something to make their competitive scene a lot more enjoyable, rather than watching, you know, one team go to the middle and sit inside of a silo and just kind of chill there until in game.
I really think
die.
The so here's one thing that I think Fortnite does better than most other battle royale games, and apart from the horrendous shooting mechanics in the game, they eliminate RNG being as much of a factor, right? Like, I really feel like we've never really died from the circle a whole lot in Fortnite, where in PUBG it could just happen. Like, it's just
It happens. Not because the map is so big, like all the time.
Yeah, because the map is so big, you picked the wrong corner to go into at the start of the game, and it is what it is. But it's also like you could search in PUBG 5 buildings and walk away with a pistol, right? Where in Fortnite, I typically feel like you're going to find weapons to at least have a fight. And again, that partially is revolved around the building mechanic, right? If I can build a little bit better, or if as a team you can build a little bit better to work around people, then you stand a lot better chance. So it eliminates as much of the, well, this guy got this rifle and I have, you know, a shotgun, right? Typically with a Fortnite game, by the time you get to that final 10 people or 10 teams,
you're set.
Everyone's
like, you're
good.
Pretty damn set at
you're
that point,
you're
yeah.
at a fair advantage at that point for the most part. I mean, even last night, Anuj, when we played that squad, I would say we had no business winning it.
No.
But
and that was like, we had for those who played the game, and we had like literally nothing. We were using commons for the most part.
We didn't have any materials to build, nothing. But we were able to still come out and win. And I feel like in PUBG, that's almost impossible with the way the positioning works in that game. You know,
like I said, they play very different.
They do.
Like, the games are very different. Where the market share comes into an issue related to esports is picture like an IEM or ESL event, or you know, just one of the other big players in that space. If you have an option to do one or the other, because maybe you're already doing Counter-Strike and you're doing StarCraft, and then you're like, we should bring in a battle royale game. Chances are you don't bring in both. You know, unless they're really both killing it. If Fortnite's market share becomes such a big difference, I mean, wouldn't it be worth it to
have
Fortnite as the game you choose? Unless you're going to bring in two Battle Royale games, which I just don't see happening at some other, you know, big events. And honestly, there's already more of a... I know more pro Fortnite players than I already do PUBG pro players, honestly.
Okay, so that's where... I don't know any...
But some of them are like big names, obviously. You know, Crafty's been involved in Destiny
TSM
and a lot of other games. He's been around for a long time, you know. And you see like Courage, who was the MLG broadcaster, has joined Optic and is part of that squad and has left MLG to kind of do his own venture. But like, there's already some really big personalities in Ninja. You know, gosh, maybe if the game does go esports, this guy would be able to compete at any level with anybody. So I think he's on Luminosity as a streamer, but I don't know how that would correlate. But
I mean, he could probably be his own entity now.
Yeah, I mean, literally. So it's just if that market share gap becomes wider than it is now, and it's already pretty damn wide, I think that could cause organizers to lean one way or the other when choosing, you know, a Battle Royale game to focus around.
I'm curious to see how it plays out in the future, man, because especially like gaming in general is flavor of the week, right? But especially with BR games, like, look, it started out with DayZ, right? Or Arma, then DayZ. Then it turned into H1Z1 was going to be the best game ever for Battle Royale. Then it turned into PUBG. Now it's Fortnite. You got Islands of Nine coming out, which is a completely different style of BR, right? No one's really seen that first-person shooter style for a BR. And then you have...
Well, PUBG with a first-person shooter.
Yeah, but that's just first-person.
I mean,
Islands of Nine, though, Isles of Nine feels like a first-person shooter.
It's faster. It's
PUBG
like...
feels like a third-person game that they made
Let me ask you this, then. So, like, with Fortnite, don't you feel like it's more than just a game right now? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, if you look at everything from the outside, you know, from an outside perspective that's involved, and let's just start off with, like, Drake and Juju and Travis Smith playing with Ninja, or from an NCAA tournament team's bringing up Fortnite,
the
you're comparing
Detroit
their wins,
having to release a statement because their players are playing too much of it.
Yeah, or I mean, like, you just showed us what the Charlotte Hornets showed their whole starting five in the Fortnite loading menu. Like, it feels more of like a generational movement in games compared to any of the other BR games.
Can I be a negative Nancy without being accused of being salty?
Not on this show, but go ahead.
Like, so was Candy Crush. Like, Candy Crush had a lot of pop culture references and a lot of people talking about it at one point in time.
the Candy Crush is also one of the biggest mobile games of all time. So like, it's not a bad thing to say this is Candy Crush, because Candy Crush is like the most popular damn mobile game there was, you know, at one point for a long period of time. If they had that kind of sustainability, it's just the amount of pub they're getting. They're getting it from every avenue, and it's a free to play game. So it's only going to get bigger as more people hear about it, right? Like, you might, from a gaming scene, everybody's heard about it, right? But now those who maybe just play like sports games or something, and they listen to hip hop and they hear Drake talking about Fortnite. Hey, well, it's free to play. Might as well try it out. Let me see what's there.
That's how I heard about it.
Yeah, well, Juju Smith, you know, NFL, like these guys are in the NFL. He's one of many that like tweet about Fortnite actively. And so it's just kind of insane, because it's fitting
pop
for
culture phenomenon.
Yeah, it really is.
And I just, you know, and so, I don't get it.
Indie Tim.
I don't get it. It's fun. I'm not saying it's not fun.
I know, our group of friends, there's a lot of salt that revolves around the game. Like, you kind of get that vibe as a whole. And, you know, we all know, you know, within our group who we're talking about, right? And no, so.
Yeah, we don't have to name.
Yeah, we don't need to throw names out there. And so I think, but that's kind of, that's not the norm. You know, most people that I talk to about Fortnite love Fortnite, and that's kind of awesome to see this many people so actively involved. Like, my cousin is downloading the game, who I never get to play games with him. He plays like sports games 90% of the time. Maybe we'll play FIFA together. That's it. And it's cool because even he's interested in it now and wants to play it. So I just think it's like a pop culture movement that we're seeing, just as much as them taking over like just the video game genre at the moment. 45 million players, that's something, you know, that's a lot.
I'm not
people.
Denying the popularity.
I mean, I read something where, you know, there's a couple of other, well, Rules of Survival and Knives Out, you know, those are other popular iOS games. I read something where like Fortnite has already made in 72 hours $1.5 million just from releasing, like since releasing.
Yeah,
the iOS
the record
game.
For like first day release. I mean, it's like, it's insane. It's just everywhere. It's littered into everything you can imagine, from music to sports, gaming. Like, I mean, at any outlet. CNN interviewed Ninja, I think it was this
Not
morning.
Like it
was
matters
CNN?
For,
was it?
It was NBC.
CNBC, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, like interviewed, I had an interview with Ninja, and I mean, he represented them well, as goofy as his blue hair looks. And,
he looks like a meth head.
Yeah, you know, goofy as
I'm just going to come out and say it.
Spoke really well, though. You know, if you watched his interview, he spoke really well and sounded intelligent and, you know, said the right things. And so whether you like him or you don't like him, like, he's the face of, you know, not only Fortnite, but kind of even Twitch at the moment, right? Like, he's taking Dr. Disrespect's kind of whole mojo is all flipped
Shut
towards
your mouth,
Ninja. Dude, the guy had like, what, 630 concurrent viewers? It's like insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't argue that.
And that's another one I don't get. I'm just getting old, you know? Maybe it's everyone else out of touch.
Whatever they're doing, it's working. Like,
maybe
I said,
it's
like
the
they
kids
don't,
that are wrong.
Yeah.
They do continuous updates, they add weapons. I mean, they keep it fun, and they make their money off these useless skins that look great, that, you know, we've all, you know, got different skins or packages or whatever. And it's like, it's just these guys are doing something right, and you know,
but
5 million people.
But Anuj, I can get a Where's Waldo shirt out of a PUBG crate. Like, it's
right.
Well, people do like.
I get it. Definitely. Again, the realism in PUBG is meant to be there, though, right? They don't want to make it too outlandish. Yeah. I don't think. In PUBG.
No, I know, but at the same time, you know, gotta,
well, Fortnite
gotta
is like Fortnite's kind of like that Overwatch in that sense. Like, they can bling the crap out of it in, you know, people want it.
The faster
we
realize that just Battle Royale games are trash tier games, my life will be better.
Do you consider PUBG, like, it's not a traditional Battle Royale, though, right? Like, I mean, the
PUBG
only
or Fortnite?
I mean, Fortnite, sorry.
I was going to say, PUBG.
We're all different, man.
Because of, yeah, Tim got me started. I blame this on him. Because of the building aspect, I find it to be so unique, and that's why I'm enjoying it. Like, we've all played Battle Royale games, and so we do get sick of them, right? But at least this has a whole new element and aspect to the game that we've never seen in any other game, at least at this pace, to be able to build.
The only saving factor for me is that it's a fast-paced game. Like if it yeah, if it was it, like PUBG where we would play for 45 minutes and still come out not winning, I'd be like, I'm done. But that's just my opinion.
Courage said it best. Like, I was watching him play with Dr. Disrespect the other day, and Dr. Disrespect, you know, he was getting frustrated like he does. And Courage said, "Hey, Doc, let me tell you something. You'll be a lot happier if you just realize that Fortnite is a building game before it's a shooting game. It's a building game before it's a shooting game." And after that, you know, it was like, okay, yeah, it's a different game.
It is. It really is. The skill gap is in the game is the building. You know,
yeah.
If you build it, you will win.
If you build it.
Mm. Build it to win it. Now, if only my bullets went where I shot. Let's get into some clutch and kick, shall we, though?
We shall.
Clutch or kick.
Production value insert here. Don't have it on this computer. Maybe 1 week when I decide to put it in, we'll have some music. But for now, clutch or kick, it's where we take some headline stories of the week or so and basically say, you know, some people are making it a big deal. Is it a big deal? Should it be something you look at down the road? I do want to get into some of the WESG drama, I guess you could say, with Fnatic. Remember, like two episodes ago, we did like a full-on segment talking about Fnatic and CSGO, saying how, man, this team's looking good. And then like the day after, they were like, nah, Golden Boy, you suck. Or not Golden Boy, but Golden, you suck. Goodbye.
Golden Boy.
Cloud9!
Cloud9!
So now they're saying that Golden is staying. That's despite him being an auto noob at WESG. So let's do two things in one. I know, Nuge, you weren't here last week, but we talked about gentlemen's agreements and using cheap guns in games. And does it have anything at a competitive level? Like, should gentlemen agreements be a thing? You know, like, should you judge someone for using an auto sniper?
No, the game has to make the decision to ban it, not the players. You know, and COD is like the worst example of this because there's 10 guns that are banned and it's just the stupidest thing ever. Like the auto rifle is a little unique, right? Like, because it's always been hated on in CS. You use it in MM and you're gonna get crapped on immediately from everybody. Like, everybody will start talking shit to you. So I don't think they exist in my mind. You play to win the game. You know, and that's just what it is.
Play to win our game.
And I think me and Brett, just from our conversation last week, we agree. We said the same exact thing. Like, it should never be up to the players to say that.
Never.
So I really think, like, all these people who are saying, oh, you shouldn't be using this or anything like that. It's like, look, bro, when there's $800,000 on the line, I'm going to use whatever gun that Valve tells me I can use in this tournament.
You know? And I mean, and at that point, you had every opportunity to kill their economy and not let them afford a $4,000 buy in a game, right? Am I wrong on that, Anoush?
Okay. Look, this is not the first time.
No, Pasha uses an auto sniper all the time.
So this is just the way the Turkish fans acted towards Golden is the bigger issue, right? Like, that's why this is getting blown up, is they're just talking so much trash to him.
SK will pull out the auto sniper on you.
Yeah,
I mean, our boy, like Anuj and I's boy, Get Right. That's like his calling card. Like, he'll break that gun out and just dominate. It's
on Dust 2, you've seen people hold it on B site all the time. I mean, it's like happened so many times. You've seen various angles where the auto sniper is incredibly OP, and if you have the money, and it's well more than $4,000, if you have the money and you want to buy it, like, go for it.
So I think we're all in agreement, all right? That's a kick. We're just kicking fans complaining about certain guns. I think we're all in agreement there, correct?
Right. Yeah. Totally.
Golden staying with Fnatic. Are we believing it or not?
I mean, I just have a quick thought on that. Like, I would say, yeah, I'm a clutch for keeping him. Like, I mean, just look at his recent success. And CS is such a reactionary kind of business. It's like a flavor of the month business. Like, if you just ride the hot hand, like, see if he can win a couple of more tournaments. And it's not like he hasn't been playing against, you know, top tier talent. And it's not like the person that was going to replace him was doing just amazing at NIP, right? Like, give the guy a chance. Like,
I don't really understand. Yeah, like, I don't really understand why he was even in a discussion that he was going to be off the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely. Wait, this is clutch for keeping him we're talking about, right?
Yeah, clutch for keeping.
Okay. Yeah, this is definitely a clutch for me, 100%. I mean, they just won Katowice with him and looked great doing it, and they beat FaZe in some of the most epic matches I've ever watched. And they've been performing well recently. Like, there's no need to make a change right now. Why fix what's not broken? I mean, it might not be the sexiest team, which, comparing that to old Fnatic's teams, right? Everybody was a big name. You had five all-stars, and maybe that's how they, you know, want to ride or die. But you got a team that's gelling really well. They're at the top of their game. They're moving up in the rankings. I mean, you wait for this thing to collapse before you make a change, unless there's like a true 100% bona fide superstar out there. Okay, you know, maybe you take that risk, like a Nico or somebody like that. But I don't know. I mean, you're winning, and you beat the team with Nico on it. So I feel like you keep going, and until this thing runs dry, there's no need to make that move right now. There's no roster lock period that's going to hurt them, or like that would benefit them to do it now anyway. Wouldn't you want to wait till there's like openings and roster locks to be able to do that?
I agree. I 100% agree with both of you that it's just a clutch. It's, to me, it seems almost like a no-brainer, right? Especially for a team like Fnatic that's been kind of down in the dumps before these last couple of tournaments, where it's like, okay, so now that you're finally becoming good, now you're going to become picky? Seems weird.
Yeah.
Now, this came up the other day, and one of our listeners in Discord brought it to my attention. And honestly, I don't know enough about it to do a full segment, which is why we're throwing it in Clutch or Kick. But there has been talks in the esports universe about professional female pros, right? Like gamers and girls in esports, and basically just your typical narrative, right? They don't get paid as much. They aren't looked at as a serious potential to be on anyone's team. And just throw in anything that you've heard before into this narrative. And I don't really know why it's getting drummed up all of a sudden. But I know I saw like Pansy and everyone tweeting about it, right? So I don't, like, what is your guys' opinion as far as, again, I don't think, like, we're all not awful people. I think we all agree that girls deserve an equal thing. I'm so more so asking about, to even pay attention to an article that's talking about injustice in esports between genders.
So I can tie it to something that is local and it's big. Like I love watching soccer. I love watching U.S. men's and U.S. women's soccer, but I'm in that same boat, you know, because there's the big discrepancy there of like, hey, why aren't we getting paid the same as the men in the U.S. scene? It's because of numbers. Like I enjoy watching them both, but if both of them are on TV at the same time, I'm choosing the men's game, because right now it's just more entertaining, you know. It's a faster paced game. They're more athletic, and it's kind of the same thing in esports right now as well. Like, I'm sure I would get dominated by a CLG Red team.
Yeah,
I know that.
I feel like
they're better than me.
Stand a pretty good chance.
Whatever, dude. But I mean, you can't argue the product. If their product gets better, then no one's going to argue, especially in esports being, you know, more progressive than other mainstream sports, that anybody's going to have a problem with it. I mean, you see a woman in the Overwatch League right now. She hasn't played, but she's there amongst men because she's good. I don't believe it's like a publicity thing. She's good at the game. So I'm kicking.
Yeah, I'm with dude. Yes. I think so. I was reading articles and everything today, just, you know, recent publications, and it's like so many people right now with this topic, to me, are just grasping for air. You know, it's like they're just kind of throwing their line out there, hoping something bites. And then that way it starts controversy, and that way it drums up clicks on their website or their article or video or whatever it is. Because, and you know, disclaimer, none of us are women. So I guess we're really the three worst people to try to talk about this topic, considering we don't know what it's like. But
Audible, get your wife.
I will say this.
I'm brown, though, so that's like something.
Yeah, you are a minority.
Where are you going with it? Oh, sorry.
Minority. There you go. I saved it. Don't worry about it. It's all right. There was an article I read today talking about the pay discrepancy between like the winnings of the best men players and the best women players, and they threw out this ridiculous number that it's like 750% difference. Like, men make 750% more. And the comparison was just so idiotic to me, where it was like they were comparing players like Miss Harvey, who plays for CLG Red, compared to like any other...
Fallen.
Yeah, well, that's what it was. And it was like, so I just thought, you know what, let's take a look, right? So in 2017, Miss Harvey played like roughly, and I'm looking at Liquipedia for this, like 5 tournaments. All last year, they played at 5 tournaments that were big enough to where Liquipedia would put it on their result page. Then I looked at Rush on Cloud9, and he played like 27. So it's like, to compare just winnings is a bit ridiculous. Yeah, like dollars to dollars like that.
The whole gender equality thing is not just to make it even across the board and give everybody a participation medal. The whole women's equality thing is for women to be equally paid for doing the same job at an equal skill level as men within the workplace. So if a woman is a project manager or CEO of a company and she's running a successful company, well, hell yeah, she deserves to be paid just as much as a successful male CEO would be paid for, you know, take Yahoo or whoever, for example,
right? Maybe a little more if she's attractive.
Yeah, if she could put it on, then yeah, for sure. You give her, it'll get called dimes for nothing. This is very different though. And
maybe less if she's pregnant. I don't know.
I'm done.
Wait, no. finish your point.
I'm saying is like, you look at like a Serena Williams. She played the 150th male tennis player. He beat her 6-0, 6-0. Okay, that's 150th rank. But Serena's the best in her game. And
to be like the best ever.
Ever, right? And you look at in Counter-Strike, there's already something that we're doing which is unequal in my mind is separating the tournaments. If you want to talk about making it equal, then okay, leave it. It's already open to everybody to go play and try out.
Nothing is stopping you from playing in these other tournaments.
Take that money from the women's tournament and add it to one big prize pool, right? And now you let everybody come and compete and the best move on. Well, is that unfair to do it that way? Like, I think if there's a skill gap, that's okay. But you're going to get compensated for that skill gap to, you know, just like the XFL versus the NFL.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too. Like, looking here, okay, you brought up, like, the tournaments, right? Where it's like, you have just female tournaments. Okay. And me personally, I think like Anuj, like I think this is what you said, that basically it's hindering them just as much, right? Because what's the proper word I'm looking for? It's not raising their skill to the next level, right? It's basically just exploiting them because
you're not
a
playing
full
against
female
the best.
Team. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, you know, even if you're at the top of the women's game in Counter-Strike, you can't say you're the best because you're not playing against the best players in the game. You're the best of like the women in the game, right?
So let me give you this. Did you guys know that there was a North American 2017 WESG for women?
Yeah, that's where a lot of this controversy started, was the 100,000 versus 800,000 prize pool, right?
Yeah. Well, this was like, yeah, for there it was 8,000. Now, keep in mind, there were also only 5 teams. Compared to like what the 20 or so that was on the other side. And again, I don't feel like and this is just me from a gaming perspective, right? Because we play with females. If a woman has like equal or skill value, and throw anything, right? Even if it's like a little kid, we played Fortnite and won yesterday with a little kid. If you're good, I don't see like Fnatic being like, ooh, you know what? You're just as good as Nico, but you're a woman, so we're only going to give
we're
you...
We're not going to pick you up.
Yeah, we're not going to pick you up, but we're going
to
give you less
money.
At
least you would like to not think that would be the case, right? And if it were, that's when the issue should come up.
If you have solid proof, and that's why I kick this argument, because you know what? When I looked up today, I said, women in esports. I Googled something that would try to get me results. I clicked on the first article that popped up in Google, and I'm reading it. I'm like, man, these are some bogus-ass references. And this is different from the one I was referring to earlier about the money. And then I looked to see when this was posted. The article I read today, or one of them, was posted over 900 days ago.
Yeah.
So almost over 3 years ago, and people were still making the same arguments that they brought up just a week ago. And it's the same response as everyone's giving. It's like everyone is too one-sided with this argument, right? We try to make a counterpoint, and it's because we're sexist. They try to make a point, well, it's because you're a woman is why you're saying it. It's an impossible argument to have because, honestly, every party is way too biased in it.
Yeah, and to me, like, it doesn't really become a huge story until, let's say, that there's a woman that wants to get into, like, FPL or something like that. And there's a group of guys, you know, that are already in FPL being like, hey, we need to keep this person out. Like, we don't want her playing with us. And, you know, basically it's like a training session, you know, we just want to keep him out. That's when it becomes a story. Yeah. Like, it's,
and we didn't
have
even bring
every
up.
Opportunity, especially in esports.
Yeah.
And I know there's, you know, you get into a random CS match and a woman talks on the mic and automatically she's attacked, right? Because she's a woman. Like, it's out there. We know that. But for on a high level standpoint, for, you know, from best of the best kind of standpoint, no team is going to keep a woman away from their team if her skill gap is like right there with the guys. Now, getting there is the issue. Like, you're trying to work your way up and you're just getting hammered every match and you just lose interest.
Well,
and I think
that's the difference, right? It's the very low, low end of the play where you got to get over that wake of like, it's a rough climb to the top. And I will 100% agree that as a woman, it's much harder to earn respect in a video game world. That's fact, right?
For sure.
I mean, none of us are, or all of us are guilty of, and it's the same thing when you hear a little kid on the mic to instantly be like, oh, geez. Okay. I guess we're going to lose this one. Like,
I'm just happy to be.
Yeah. Like, I guess we're just going to lose this one. Okay. And we've all been there. So I understand, like, when women are saying that it's harder for them. I'm just saying, to try and compare saying, like, well, if someone's just as good as Nico, they wouldn't be looked at. Like, I'm pretty sure if a female was as good as Nico, they would
trust me, we would all be looking. We would
looking. We would all notice it much faster.
She would be a 10 in all of our eyes.
you global elite, baby? You global elite? So I agree. I think until it becomes a real issue, and when I say real issue, I mean something with concrete evidence, just kick it away because there's way too much garbage in there right now to try to have a solid conversation, you know? I mean, we didn't even bring up what happens if they're on their period, you know? Like, are you just going to skip out of tournament?
Oh, no. You're on that bus alone, brother.
I think Anuj is with me. I think I heard him agree.
Being a married man and my wife is about 30 feet away from me, I would agree.
See, my wife isn't home, which is why I can say all this out loud. If she was here, though, I'd say women deserve more money. So looking on to the next topic.
Wait, if you're pregnant, do you get paid for two?
Oh, that's a good question.
All right, let me go get my wife right quick. Hold on 1 second.
So she's going to get 12 cents today, Brett. it's not worth it.
Can we move on, please?
Maybe this is what they're talking about. Do you think we're the problem? Do you think? Man, this is just locker room talk, guys. Don't worry about it. Just locker room talk.
No big deal. The president said it's okay.
So you had something to say about Blizzard, right, Tim? Like something Blizzard?
Man, I just think, okay, I'll stop. Because the more comfortable we get, the more in trouble we're going to get. Okay.
Yep.
So, okay. The next one here, real quick. As I said, Clutcher Kick always goes on way too long. Blizzard micromanaging teams. This all brought up with Richard Lewis saying that the XQC suspension was kind of unjust, that the fact that it was harder on him, right, that they went to the Dallas Fuel and kind of had their hands involved. And then this also came up the other day, maybe even today, where Blizzard supposedly went up to Sinatra and said, hey, we saw that you did a tweet with Pepe. which is like that frog meme for anyone who doesn't know.
The frog meme.
And you need to delete it. Mainly, for those who don't know, the outside world, and when I say the outside world, I mean people that maybe don't spend all day on Reddit, view that as like a white supremacy meme, because when President Trump and everything were getting elected and the riots with Nazis and everything there, that group somehow adopted that and used it as memes. And then now from the outsider view, that's what it's for. So Blizzard said, hey, just delete it. Like, it's not worth it. Just delete it. You can find other ways to say your message. Do you guys feel like it's something to pay attention to that Blizzard is micromanaging how teams conduct or how players are conducting their business?
All right. So, like, I can look at the XQC and the Sinatra thing totally separate from each other, because I feel like they are different in a lot of ways. From a Sinatra standpoint, I'm kicking that it's a big... I'm kicking that we shouldn't be making it a big deal on Sinatra's part, because like, this is just a theory of mine. Like, half the owners in the Overwatch League are all white guys. Like, they just don't understand. And I just think it's being blown way, 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 way out of proportion, and we shouldn't make a big deal out of it. But from an XQC standpoint, yeah, I mean, it's people talking about XQC being suspended. I mean, he has a laundry list, okay? Like, yeah, I mean, the league needs to step in and do something about that. I mean, I have no issue whatsoever with them stepping in and giving a suspension. Because it's not his first offense.
No,
right?
I think what's going to come from this, I mean, if there's going to be any type of positive that comes out of all this, is hopefully Blizzard is a little bit more transparent, though, with their rules.
Right, and that's the growing pain as a new league. You
from
need to
both
get ahead
sides,
of that,
right?
Because,
there's a growing pain on the players that they don't understand why they can't say these things on Twitter or on their stream anymore. But then there's also the growing pain of like, hey, Blizzard, from what I understand, you never really had like a player seminar that went over all of this with them at the start of the year, which is 100% on Blizzard. Like, the fact that you have all these guys who are probably never like had like a... Like had
a
to be
job?
Well, yeah, like in this sense, right, where like they're representing a brand, right?
Yeah,
like you never
like, not
once...
even just a job. It's a little different than just like working at Taco Bell, you know.
Yeah,
like even if they had worked at Taco Bell, this you know you wouldn't
you
have
could post all the stuff you want.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm saying. Like representing an organization, a brand, a city, it's way different. And the fact that Blizzard didn't go to them, so. Mm.
For me, I'm like a little bit on the fence. I'm kind of thinking like Brett is. Like I'm for the two examples we gave, I'm clutch and kick in different situations, right? For XQC, I think I would be a clutch because the guy is a fool. Like he can't seem to do anything right. He's had so many chances and he's over and over again proved that he doesn't have his crap together, like at all. Like he's just all over the place. He says what he wants to say. And great, that's great if you're a streamer and you're not representing a new league and a team and whatnot. So I think they needed to step in there and kind of just shut that down. Although I think the Dallas Fuel were going to suspend him anyway. Like I really don't think Blizzard coming their direction is a reason.
The Dallas Fuel
they
did not need
it,
Blizzard.
You know?
Well, even like when him getting kicked off the team, it's like Blizzard didn't, or the Dallas Fuel did not need Blizzard to come tell them how to handle that situation. I'm pretty sure the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, it was
before.
Happening one way or the
I
other.
Mean, like in stage suspension. One, they extended the suspension, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
they,
and that was on them.
We
even asked him on when Mike Rufail was on the show about it. He wasn't like, well, they came up to me and asked me to extend it, and no, he said no. We felt like it deserved more. So,
yeah, like we thought this was the best plan of action, right? But with the Sinatra situation, I think they did cross the line. And I think part of it, the issue that I have with it is it's not esports related at all. It's just I feel like they're empowering the meme, right, by doing that, by giving ownership to white supremacists or, you know, whatever group is using it, by telling him to, like, take it down. We all know that there was no tie to it, right? Mm-hmm. There's people out there that believe that there was, but now you're empowering it for the people that saw it on the outside. And now if they see, oh, well, they even made them take it down, because that's definitely what it means. I think you're empowering the image more by doing that.
And especially like when we live in such a meme society, right? Like, we have had full-blown conversations in our Facebook chat in just memes and GIFs. Like, without ever saying anything, it's just through pictures and funny videos, right? And so if we're going to start, like, overanalyzing every little thing like that, it's going to get old really quick. And I think the best thing to do is, rather than Blizzard just going one incident at a time, having maybe, like, a mid-season meeting and saying, all right, apparently
getting on the same page.
Yeah, apparently we as a league did not do a good job.
Yeah, like the blackface meme thing to me was different, right? Like with XQCA, that had a racial undertone directly to it when he did it, I felt, you know? Mm-hmm. Even though he had used it before, it at least it didn't look good at all in that situation.
Right.
This is the Pepe meme's been used like all, I mean, we've seen it a million times, and yeah. I've never put a racial undertone to it before. No. And it's hard to do that because it's a green frog. So, like Brett,
I mean,
you don't instantly think
racist when you see,
yeah,
a green
like
frog.
Brett uses the N word all the time because he doesn't want to empower the word.
That man,
and
I just throw
that.
It around all the time, and I feel like that. I can because I have a black best friend, right? That's how it works. Like that's why I can say it. I really don't say it, guys. I don't. Let me
just
want to
make that clear.
I didn't want to do Tim because I knew he would run with it. So I figured I'd focus on Brett there because I wanted to hear the apology or the statement.
Yeah. I will always go, no matter the distance, for the joke. I guess long story short, and we'll get on to the last one, and we'll get to E News. Actually, you know what? Maybe we'll skip the Lex one. We might be able to bump that up, but I do think it is a clutch. It is worth keeping it on the bulletin board, because if you start seeing them just doing it to like every little tweet, right, or anything you say on stream, I could definitely see like the players and fans being like, all right, this is quickly turning into like a no fun league all of a sudden.
You're right, because
which
you
in
have
its
to
infancy
remember
is
that,
a big deal.
Yeah, we have to remember that 80%. Maybe I'm even lowballing this number. 80% of the viewership are probably under, you know, 26, 25. Like, they're not like us. Like, well, say us. Like me in my mid-30s.
Yeah, don't
like,
throw me in with you old people.
You're almost there, Tim. I mean, you talk like you're an old guy, so.
This is true. It's because I'm mature. I am mature.
Right.
So let's get into this last one here real quick. And I'm just going to ask, should we pay attention to this later or whatnot? The CSGO Professional Player Association, again, this was drummed up after the PEA had their fiasco, right? Where it's like all of a sudden these players signed off to not playing in ESL and they had no idea. So then Sir Scoots, you know, fast forward to now is getting this together. And I guess it's picking up steam again. I guess they've been working on it behind closed doors. Do we pay attention to this later on? Like, will this actually finally become a thing?
It needs to, right? Like
I mean, even Rush tweeted out
most
saying
of us can
that
agree with it.
They're finally home for the first time since Christmas for longer than 3 days.
I mean, it's funny. I was talking about this before the show. This is a live me looking at Twitter. Pasha came out and said, you know, hey, dear player union, when is vacation time? And then like Fallen chimes in, Moses chimes in, and they're all like just joking around about it because it really is just a joke. Like these guys get no break.
Yeah.
And a lot of it stems from no real voice with, you know, tournament organizers and Valve and, you know, their organizations. I mean, they just don't really feel like they have a voice. So I think, it's going to build up steam because players are talking about it now. Like they're becoming more vocal and they feel more empowered. They come out and say, hey, you know, I need a break.
I think after WESG too, like after you heard of the conditions of the original hotel and how the computers were awful and, you know, even at Katowice where they were all tabbing and things like that, it's like I definitely think the players are going to have enough to where it's like, look, if you're wanting us to perform at our top, you got to give us something. to work with.
Well, WUSG, do you see the hotel accommodations? Like, it was horrendous. They were
We talked about it.
Oh, did you?
We literally just said that 2 seconds ago, Anuch. Welcome to the show.
I was doing something at the same time. Uh-huh. I apologize. I was looking at Brett's tweet that he said about Pasha. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see Pasha's tweet. I was so curious. I couldn't wait. It's funny because in the tweet chain, you're right. Like, they mentioned, like, the time off that they think they all have, but it's, you know, they're not sure. And they hope it's these 2 weeks, but it's right before a major, so no one's going to do it. I mean, it's like, that is crazy. Like, what a crappy way to have to, like, especially when you're making that much money, don't you want to enjoy life a little bit too at the same time? So I would definitely say it's a clutch that it needs to happen. I think there is, they have a lot of power. They need to be able to use it better. And I think that's all of them just getting on the same page and making it happen. But yeah, it'll be good for it to happen. It is a mess. It's so hard for us to keep up with as spectators. I mean, it's just, we were talking about it, like, you know, did we get to watch a lot of this event? Did we catch, like, a game here and there, hopefully? And then if it does go the distance, sometimes it's a best of five. And it's like, God knows all of us being married don't have 12 hours in a day to sit there and watch it with technical difficulties. So yeah, it needs to happen. So some of this gets under control and it's a little bit, we can focus our attention on the right things and the right mm-hmm. changes that need to happen.
Agreed. So we'll keep an eye on that one for sure. Maybe we'll maybe get some people on to talk about it. Maybe not. We'll see what's going on. But for now, let's get into some e-news, shall we? Not a whole lot happened that we didn't already discuss, but NRG ended up sweeping Liquid 2-0 at the iBuyPower Spring Invitational. That happened this weekend. I don't think anyone knew about it, but it did happen. NRG, I guess, is apparently looking good. They beat Liquid 2-0, which is kind of a shock. In other games, you had The Mango, which is a tournament put on by Mango. Go figure. Swedish Delight ended up beating Kalamazoo 3-0. That was an absolute train wreck of a tournament to watch, and I loved every second of it.
It's pretty awesome to have a tournament named after yourself.
So chill. Like, you'd be watching the games, and, like, it's the middle of a top 8 game, and, like, the commentator, you know, they had all the pros there commentating. They weren't really competing as much, but they were commentating. And like Mango, Armada, all of them, HBox, they weren't in this tournament. So it was kind of neat. It was different. I liked it. You also had final round going on. You had Street Fighter, where Infiltration ended up beating Tokido. Knuckledew being Orgless, since he left Team Liquid in that weird... He backed out of the finals last year, and now he's off of Liquid. Well, he ended up taking fifth. In Injustice 2, you had Sonic Fox defeated Forever King. And some local news here for the Dallas DFW area. The city of Arlington, I don't think we talked about this last week, Brett. I think this, like, came out the day after we posted, is opening up its own esports arena.
And a lot of people are tweeting about that, not just local.
No, man, no, it's
catching eyes.
That was big news on, I saw it on Reddit. I saw a lot of people tweet about it. We'll talk about it maybe in another episode. Only 1,000 seats, though? Does that seem a bit low? 1,000 seats?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be hosting any big events there.
Yeah.
I don't know what type of events they're planning on holding. I don't know. I feel like they're really underselling how many people are going to show up to these things.
Unless they're optimizing it from a viewership standpoint, then yeah, but
yeah,
I'm not a fan.
Maybe like core. I just feel like you're doing it, but 1,000 seats just seems like why bother? You're gonna have to.
It depends on like what types of games end up being played there, right? Like if
the model showed Dota 2, and I'm like, okay, well, you're just gonna have to. You're gonna outgrow that so fast.
Like if you're gonna use like 20 different games there, I kind of get that sizing maybe a little bit. Like if this was like maybe just an Overwatch arena or just a Counter-Strike arena, that seems a little low in terms of numbers we're used to seeing. But if it ends up being used for 15, 20 different games and it's year round, then it might not be too bad. Just
not to overcommit, I guess, is a thing. Yeah. It's the first one, so I don't listen. I'm happy that they're doing it anyways. So I'm just happy
North Texas continues to stay as heavily involved as they are with them, and really LA being the top two scenes out there from an esports perspective. I think it's awesome. You know, it's just another thing to brag about over here.
So I think they said in the fall. It's really not that around the corner, but we'll keep an eye on that. But for now, that just about does it for us for episode 97 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. I thank you all for listening. If you listen to the whole thing, you're a madman. This was a long episode. Funny, because beforehand we were like, nah, this will be a short one. But it never is. If you skipped around, I love you all the same. If you are a female gamer and you are listening to this, maybe while cooking dinner for your husband who works hard all day, love you. Just kidding. But until next time. Oh. We forgot some big announcement. Brett.
Shucks.
Hey, what?
Brett might not be here next week.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. My wife is due. Definitely having my second child
Tuesday,
March 27th. Yep. I will be the father of two.
Are we going to have to record early or late that day? Well,
he's doing all the hard work during that time. Don't you have an hour free while that's happening? Or
that totally, man.
Sneak out? Or?
I'll more than likely still be in the hospital with, you know, supporting my beautiful wife.
Okay. Do this for the listener, okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Secretly record you asking your wife if you can, like, ditch out just for a little bit to record on Tuesday.
Can I do it while she's in labor?
Dude, like, download the Discord app, and I want to do a live session from the room during
an IRL stream, guys?
Yeah, like an IRL stream.
Okay.
That's what we'll do for
Can she? Can she hang on for the 100th episode?
Yeah, for episode 100, we will show Brett's wife in labor live.
Thanks for listening, guys. Until next time, episode 98, where we talk about things esports related.
Well, Brett may or may not be here, but Anuj and I will be here next week to talk about everything else going on in esports world. Episode 97 again. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Hit us up on our website, tcr.gg. Join our Discord. Be a part of the conversation. We love our listeners. We enjoy talking to them. We're not mean. We're nice. Am I missing anything? I think that's it. Until next week, though, we will see you later.
Fortnite squads, everyone?
No. I hate that game. Never again.